Guys, what a wonderful song. Just singing that is a good reminder to us that what God has to say is a lot more important than what we have to say. And hearing what He says to us through the blood of Jesus and the gospel of His free grace is what changes us. It's what sets us free. It's what gives us life. And I appreciate you this morning singing that with me. What God says to us is so much more important than what we have to say. Not that what we have to say isn't important. It is. But it always comes first from Him. And I was thinking about this too. If you look in your bulletin or up on the screen here, about our question this morning is, it's about what we call our ordinances or the sacraments. Some people use that word about baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so we are a people of the book. We are a people of the Word. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, by the Word of Christ. We're born again by the Word of God, the Bible says. But God has given us two things in our churches to visibly portray this wonderful thing that God can do in our life in saving us. And so, words are like what we live by, but these two things also communicate this most powerful message of the good news of Jesus. And so that's what our question is about this morning. So what are the sacraments or ordinances? Church answer, the sacraments or ordinances given by God and instituted by Christ, namely baptism and the Lord's Supper, are visible signs and seals that we are bound together as a community of faith by His death and resurrection. By our use of them, the Holy Spirit more fully declares and seals the promises of the gospel to us. Amen. I think if our kids want to go ahead and be dismissed right now, our little ones, you can. We're going to be starting, I think it is next Sunday, our full children's church going up to the fourth grade. So that will start next week. But we do have preschoolers out right now if they want to use that time to go up to preschool worship this morning. And what we're going to do is join together in prayer right now. So let's pray and talk to God. So God, first we want to just spend a moment here just to praise You because of who You are. And one of the things we know about You, O Lord, is that You are a God who reveals Yourself to us. You didn't hide from us. You could have. We deserve that. We hid from You in the garden, but You came right out to the open as You always have and always will do. And You showed Yourself. And You've done that always through the things that You have done, through Your mighty acts, through delivering Your people, through the Red Sea, or through the different miracles that we read of in the Bible in the Old Testament. And then You have sent Your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh, who is the full expression of who You are. Praise You for that, Lord. And we know this, that if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And so we praise You, Jesus, for showing us the Father. We praise You, Holy Spirit, because You come into our lives and You take what is Jesus's, You take what is the Son's, and You make it known to us. It is Your doing to open the Scriptures to our hearts and our minds and help us understand. And so we praise You, Holy Spirit, this morning. We praise You, God. And yet, Lord, we know that every word of Yours proves true in the written word as well. We're thankful for the Word of God. You, according to Your Word, Your Spirit inspired men to write these things down for us. And now they are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And just as we saw earlier, they are the words of eternal life. And it's by Your Word that we are made new. And we rejoice in that today. But our words are different. You've made us in Your image, but we quite often say the wrong things. We tell lies, which is like the father of lies, Satan. We gossip and slander, killing the reputation of others. We criticize. We complain. We stab each other with our words. Sometimes we say the right thing, but we say them in the wrong way. Sometimes we say, stay silent when we ought to speak up. Lord, we don't listen. We don't listen well. We listen poorly. We listen to the hurts of others poorly. We don't listen at all, or we listen to gossip, and we love it. We love to listen to flattery rather than a well-timed correction to our lives. And then we blame it on others. We blame it on stress in our life or the world. But Jesus said we actually just say the things that are already on our hearts. And that makes us guilty. And so we come this morning and ask for your forgiveness. We come to say we're sorry. We come to repent. We come to ask that Jesus would cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And He would wash us clean once again through His precious blood. And we receive the forgiveness of Christ once again. And we are thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, that You would not let sin have dominion over us, but rather instead, Lord, would You please change our words. Help us use our words for good. Help us tell the truth. Help us to thank one another. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to defend one another. Help us to tell each other that we love one another. Help us to ask for forgiveness. Help us to teach one another. Help us to comfort one another. Help us to correct one another. Help us, Lord, to do these things by Your grace. And today we also pray that You would help us to strengthen others. Lord, so there are hurting people among us. And I pray that today, Lord, that You would tell them that You love them and that You would use us to do it. For the lonely, tell them that You are with them and use us to do it. For the anxious, tell them that all is well and use us to do it. For the weak, strengthen them by Your words and use us to do it. For the lost around us, and the 2.5 million Badawi people of Sudan, tell them about Jesus and use us to do it. For our leaders, right now especially, help them to tell us the truth and not lies. For our churches, help us to preach the gospel and fill those churches with the gospel of grace and the grace of the gospel. We pray that You do that for Nathan Washburn and Greenbrier First Baptist. Bless them, Lord. We pray for those who have been devastated by this hurricane and other things in their life. We pray for people in our own family here of faith, Mr. O'Neill as he recovers, and Leah's family as they face the COVID-19 virus. And we pray, Lord, now that You would bless us as we open Your word. Lord, we affirm this truth that it is the will of God for the Spirit of God to take the word of God and make the people of God look like the Son of God. And we pray that You would do that right now in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to take your Bible and look with me in the James chapter 3. Now that's not what we're going to preach through this morning. But we're going to talk this morning about our words and our speech. And if you're looking through the Bible and maybe in the New Testament and you're looking for, okay, what is the main Bible text that we can turn to in regards to our speech, James chapter 3 would probably be a good place to start. So we're just going to read James chapter 3 this morning from verses 1 through, I think it is, 12. And we're going to read that together before we get into this sermon this morning. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Now look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is God's Word. And God's Word has a lot to say about our words, which is what we're looking at today. So here we are again. We're marching through the book of Proverbs, trying to consider what God's wisdom is for our life on the practical things of our life. And we have seen that what it's trying to tell us is that His wisdom works. It really does. His wisdom brings life to us. And we've seen that wisdom as we've considered different topics: work, money, friends, sexuality. But get this. The book of Proverbs says more about words, the tongue, our speech, than any other topic. In fact, when I was looking this up and doing a little bit of research on this, it seems that when it comes to speech and our words, there are three times more verses on our speech and our words in the book of Proverbs than any other subject mentioned. Which seems to indicate that this is pretty important. It's kind of a big deal. I read this the other day, that we speak about 700 times a day. Not use 700 words a day. We speak about 700 times a day. So for Noel, that's probably 7,000 times a day. For one of my children, I think it's about 700,000 times a day. There are moments when it's like, just please, let's just stop talking for a while. Now, if you cut that down to 100 times a day, I would say that's a lot. And I would say you ask yourself this question: name something else that you do 100 times a day. And if you do it 100 times a day, well, it must be ranking up there pretty important in your life. So no wonder the book of Proverbs says so much on this. And I want to jump right into this morning and talk about what is God's wisdom for us when it comes to the book of Proverbs. Because I think we can all agree, just based on what we've seen in James chapter 3, and probably in your own life as well, you know this is an important thing. And so we need God's help in this. We need the fear of the Lord to bear down on our words and the way we talk to one another, and the way we talk to our families, and the way we talk to the world outside of the walls of this church. We need God's help on this very subject, and God is kind to show us and say much to us from the book of Proverbs. So what does it say about our tongues? Well, here's where I want to start. Here's the first thing I think that we want to learn when it comes to our words. The first point, the starting point of wisdom with words is this: ponder and pause. Ponder and pause. Think before you speak. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:27 or verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Have you ever heard the saying, better to be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt? Now, the Word of God can go one further than that. It actually says that if you don't talk very much, people might actually think you are intelligent. They might think that you're actually wise. That's very helpful. You can fool anyone with some silence, perhaps. But the Bible, what it teaches, is that bad things accompany many words. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:20. And considering what the Bible says, and the book of Proverbs says about a fool, well, that's really scary. If I talk too much, if I use too many words in the wrong words, in the wrong way, there's more hope for a fool than me. So you could actually even be a good person, a moral person, someone who is moral and upright, but your mouth can get you into so much trouble. That's why Proverbs 10:19 says this, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent, or just for good measure. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Speaking of thinking before you speak, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. The mouth of the wicked just pours out evil things. See, the wise person does not simply say whatever he or she feels. We're going to look at this again, but Proverbs 12:18 says this, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Notice it doesn't even necessarily say evil words there, just rash words. I mean, how many of you have said things and you thought after you said those things, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I would just paused and kept my tongue bridled. I wish I would have just taken a breath and stepped back. Just pondering and pausing could save a lot of hurt for people. Moses understood that. In Psalm 106, it says that the people provoked his spirit and he spoke with rash words and it cost him the trip to go into the promised land for that. Just rash words. Well, it's no surprise that today we find ourselves living in a world that says right the opposite, right? The Bible says it's virtuous to ponder and pause before you speak. The world says it is virtuous to speak your mind and say whatever is on your heart at all times. Someone said that the 80s were all about pleasing yourself, the 90s were about finding yourself, the 2000s were about loving yourself, and the 2010s have been all about expressing yourself. We live in the age of self-expression. It's all about expressing yourself. We add to that digital technology that helps us do that more than ever. Twitter, Facebook, any social media platform. And we're able to now voice our opinions and talk more and more through different ways, all from behind the screen, which only adds to our courage and our boldness and also our poison. Brothers and sisters, what the world calls wisdom, the Bible says, is foolishness. Expressing yourself either via words or sexuality or whatever it is not a virtue. Controlling yourself is, and that means your mouth, especially your mouth. Why is that? Why should we ponder and pause? That's the second point. It's this, and maybe this is the real main point of the book of Proverbs on this issue. It's this, because words have power. They have, I would dare say, creative power. Think about it. How did God make this world? He made it by speaking. He opened his mouth and said, let there be light. Let there be plants. Let there be animals. Let there be mankind. God made the world appear out of thin air, which of course he also made as well. But he did it all by speaking, by words. Psalm 33 says this. Genesis chapter 1 says this. We understand that words then
as those made in God's image have creative power. That's why when someone wants to cast a spell, they always say words. Abracadabra, hocus pocus. Boom, and then it happens. Words have power to them. The power to destroy, the power to build, the power to take life, the power to give life. So Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why you read in Proverbs 12:18, it likens our words to the thrust of a sword or the power to heal. Good news, the Bible says, can refresh the bones. That gracious words also are a sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 16:24. We already read that James chapter 3 says that our tongue is like a fire. And you notice it said it could set a whole forest ablaze. Well, if you're watching the news and you look out in California, you can understand that that's a really big deal. You hear what it's saying? It's saying there's power to it. According to the book of Proverbs, our words can enslave us, entangle us, incite us, enrage us, enliven us, enlighten us, and more. Words have power. It's a big deal. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, but I've not. I've never seen a church go into full meltdown and split over a sin like murder or stealing. I haven't. We all agree those are terrible sins, but I have seen churches split over gossip or someone sowing division. And it's funny how we minimize one and not the other. So they have this power because, see, words have the power to shape our beliefs and our convictions, even when eternity is at stake, especially when it's eternity at stake. Their words are like magic. They can convince people of reality. They can make you think things about the world, about others, about yourself, right? If you're a child who hears over and over that you are nothing, you can never do anything right, does that shape that child? They begin to believe things about themselves. See, words create reality for people. Why do you think Satan uses words to destroy? Think about the garden, right? He used words. Think about your own thoughts. Is it politics, a war of words to get people to hold certain convictions? Words create culture. They create communities. Hitler used words to convince a nation that it's okay to murder 6 million people just because they're a different race. Do you realize that your words shape your home and shape the church? That's why we know that the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, we know are not true. Because as Derek Kidner wrote, what is done to you is of little account compared to what is done in you, for good or ill. And that's what words do. They get in us. They get in our soul. They get in our minds. They get in our belief systems. They get in our hearts. And they shape who we are. They get in your children. They get in your spouses. They get in your friends. They get in your neighbors. They get in your politics. They get in your work. They get in your church. So let's do this. Let's hide this word in our heart. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Let's hide this good verse and make this a church-wide memory verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Let's say that together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I bet you could recite that right now without looking at that board. Because it's so easy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why don't you just write that on your soul? And walk around with it. You see, death is in the power of the tongue. There's the death that gossip and slander bring. Gossip kills friendship and reputation, as does slander. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser, accusing the brethren day and night. And I really don't think he then needs our help to do that. There's the death that complaining and critical words bring. It kills the spirit of someone, or a family, or a church. According to Proverbs 15:4, have you ever noticed this? In your home, in your church, at a restaurant, someone who complains can totally kill the vibe. Can totally break the spirit. I remember going out to a restaurant one day. Tracy and I was married before we had any kids. We went out with some other couple, and the guy there just complained the whole time about the service, the waiter, the waitress. And you're there, and you're like, I am on edge. I am just ready to leave. Break the spirit of your children. Can break the spirit of your spouse, can break the spirit of your home. There's the death of division and contentious speech. Those who sow discord kill unity. There's the death of flattery. Flattery kills growth. No one grows if no one tells people what they actually need to hear instead of only what they want to hear. There's the death of silence. You can be silent and it kills people. Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Do you need to speak up when others are being put down? Or do you just stand there and listen in sinful silence as the blast of gossip and slander hits you in the face? God says, speak up. With every unkind word that goes unconfronted, a reputation dies. And remember, the listener plays just as much a role. Proverbs 17:4 says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Brothers and sisters, if you let people dump the garbage of gossip and slander and complaining and criticism and division and lies and flattery in your yard, they will just keep dumping it there. And eventually it will stink. And it will change you. And if you find yourself to be the person that people always come to when there's a complaint, you need to ask, why is that me? I'm telling you, that's not a sign of maturity or godliness. That's not a good place to be if that's you. That's the kind of stuff that kills. See, if you give people no audience, they will not say it. Don't give them a voice to speak like this to you. Do this instead. When someone comes up to you to gossip or slander another person and hurt them or criticize, say, hold on, the person you're talking to is right here or they live right here. Let's go talk to them first and tell that person to his face what you are saying to me behind their back. Or when there's so much criticizing or complaining, I hear you, but have you thought about how the Lord can work in this situation? Remember, complaining and murmuring really got Israel into trouble. In fact, it was a disaster for them. And speaking of listening, always remember this. There's another side of the story. Proverbs 18:17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. As a pastor, I've had to learn with this. I always will get people telling me a story, especially if a couple is in trouble in their marriage. And I'll hear one side of the story, but I've learned, like, yeah, there's another side to this. And before I begin to cast judgment or think through this, I really need to hear what the other side is. Don't just listen to one side. So here's the big idea of what I'm talking about. We want to create a safe place here. A place to grow, a place to flourish, a place we can fail, a place we can confess our sins. A place that has room and safety for sinners who need help, because we don't want to just avoid bad words. We want to speak the words of life into people and to encourage them. And no one's going to open up, and no one's going to share, and no one's going to talk, and no one's going to give the help they need if this is not a safe place to do it. You see, life is in the power of the tongue. Think of this verse. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, which is a fascinating image, because what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that who is the fountain of life? God is, Jesus. And yet, it says the mouth of the righteous is. I think maybe what he's trying to say and help us understand is that God uses his people to give that life to them. So you have to realize, brothers and sisters, we can be a cool, refreshing drink for others who live in a dry and weary land. We can be the voice of Christ to our brothers and sisters when the voice of God grows so dim for them. The word of Christ in you is often stronger in you than it is in their heart in the darkest of moments, and they need us to speak up for them. The Bible says that a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Look at that again. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Tree of life. Tree of life. Where have I seen that phrase before in the Bible? Oh, wait, that was in the Garden of Eden, right? God put a tree of life in there. And from that tree of life, Adam and Eve ate and had life eternal prior to sin. The point is, our words can feed and nourish and grow others, but only when those words are gentle, right? Our words can be a bandage that binds wounds or a blade that bleeds others. And we get to choose. Think about someone who is anxious. The Bible says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. You see, this is what we want to be, a people of a good word, to gladden the heart of others, to bring joy to them, to bring life to them, to bring truth to them, to bring understanding, perspective. They need a gentle word. Doesn't mean you lie to them. Doesn't mean we don't speak the truth to one another. Sometimes that's difficult, but we bring the right word, an apt word, the book of Proverbs says. The right word in the right way, in the right occasion. And wisdom can help us get there. You may think, I could never be that kind of person or talk like that. And yet, evidently, it is possible. And so right now, you may be a person, if you're honest, who would say, my words are often a sword thrust. Way too often do I stab and hurt people. But that could change. It could change because of this. You see, what we need is a change of life and a change of heart, because the good word that we want to speak has got to come from a good place. This is the third thing I would say. Last thing I'm going to say to you is, we are what our words are. Remember, a couple of weeks ago I said to you that we are who our companions are. The people we hang around with influence us and reflect us. They influence our behavior and they reflect what we really want in life. And that can be for better or for worse. If our companions do that, so do words. Jesus said this, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now here's the connection to the book of Proverbs. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Right? So it's like a well. And if I had a well, my neighbor had a well growing up, and we used to love to go over there as kids, and she had the bucket and the rope and the crank, and we would drop that bucket and crank down there, and we'd pull water up, and it was always cold, and it was always refreshing. Because that's what was in it, that's down in there. Now, if it had a nice dark roast coffee that was down there, that's what I would have pulled up. If the well went bad, it got poisoned, that's what I would have pulled up, because that's what it is. That's what it is deep down. And your heart is a wellspring. It is the source of your actions and your words. It determines your choices. I saw this quote the other day, "Sin never just happens. Other people may push our buttons, but they're still our buttons." Good
Good point.
You see then that your words just reflect who you are. It's what's in you. What you say and how you say it tells everyone around you what is inside of you, what you treasure, what you value, what you fear, what you love, what you hate, what you are drinking in and pulling into you.
I can't tell you how often I see this, though, in our society. I'll see some celebrity will get in trouble because they've said something like, and they always apologize for it like this: "I am truly sorry for the words that I spoke. Those who know me know this is not who I truly am." To which I reply, "Yes, it is. That's why you said it. It's in there. It was inside of you, or you would not have said it. If I had a good ripe red tomato and I squeeze it, juice is going to go everywhere. Pickle juice, pineapple juice, orange juice, tomato juice. Why? Because that's what's in it. And if I squeeze it, that's what comes out of it. And brothers and sisters, what comes out of you when you get squeezed by pressure or someone's smart aleck remark to you or cutting you off in traffic or whatever, that's what's in you. It just got squeezed out of you. And this is really terrifying. And maybe why Jesus said this: "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned." So listen to me. If you use your words for bad, if you gossip and slander, if you sow discord, if you make crude jokes, if you say hateful and hurtful things, if you spew anger, if you cut with your words, if you tell lies, if you're overly critical, if you are a constant complainer, do you see it's because there's something wrong in your heart? There's anger in there. There's fear in there. There's a desire to impress others, a hunger to exalt yourself, a need to hurt people, to belittle them. There's malice. There's a delight in the pain of people. There's discontentment in how God is running the world, or maybe just your world, or something.
One time, in a previous church, lied to a couple of older ladies in our church. They came up to me one day, we were just talking, and they asked me about so-and-so who had been in the hospital. And as I am prone to do, I had forgotten they were in the hospital. And it was like, "Did you check on them?" And so what I did is what a lot of people did. I acted like I didn't know anything about it. And I made up some excuse. And then God began to convict me about that. And I had to go and apologize to those ladies and ask for their forgiveness and tell them I shaded the truth there. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to impress them as their pastor. I wanted them to think well of me. And that's why I told a lie. See it? We do what we do and we say what we say because of something inside of us. Maybe there's just nothing of God. But you never talk about it, or you talk so little of the cross of Christ. You rarely talk about the things of God. You never talk about the Word of God. You never talk to God. Is it because your heart is not full of God? Well, what is it then it's filled with? You talk about what you love. You talk about your kids. You talk about your team. You talk about your new bride or your fiance. If you're Brandon Carter, you can't stop talking about Tennessee football. You talk about your band. You talk about your sport. You talk about your favorite food, your vacation, your song, your game, your money. Why? Because you love it, you value it, you treasure it, and what's in your heart comes out of your lips.
What about God?
For all those convicting words, could you just imagine with me for just a moment what God could do in you? He can make you someone who can't stop talking about Jesus. He can make you into someone who sees it as his or her mission to strengthen others with your words, especially the words of the Lord. He can make you someone who gets happy to encourage others, and that's your delight. He can make you a person that when others see you coming and walking toward them, instead of cringing, waiting for another dose of vinegar, whatever it's going to be, they know that person is coming and they're bringing honey with them. And this is going to be sweet. And I'm going to enjoy this. Even if it's tough, like we have to say to me. The reality is all of this is just who God is. God speaks and does from the overflow of who He is, what's in His heart. You can see that in Proverbs chapter 8. If you just glance through, there's a song there. It's wisdom's song. Wisdom is singing a song. And what God does there is He says something very important. He's saying that before He ever did anything, He possessed wisdom. Wisdom first, before He spoke. Wisdom first, before He spoke the world into being. It just came out from who He was. And what does Genesis 1 say? When He spoke and He created, it was what? Good. Good. Why? Because that's who He is. He's good deep down. He's good in every ounce, and every fiber, and every bit of who He is. And so when He speaks, what He speaks is good. Brother and sister, He's made you in His image. And He wants to remake you in His image more and more. You know, they said of Jesus in John 7:46, no one ever spoke like this man. Beloved, what if people could say that about you? About us? I'm going to Bethel. No other church speaks like that church. Let me re-quote this. It is almost impossible to overstate the positive impact we can have on others if we are coming to church looking for ways in which to be an encouragement. Think about this. What if we were a congregation where no one could get out of this room today without at least one person saying to them, I thank my God for you whenever I think of you. You don't have to give them a reason. It would be great if you would. What would visitors think if they saw that each week? What could happen to our little church? Our community was so simple a thing. But why is it so hard to tell a friend, to tell one another, to tell a family member, I love you? Or I want to be your friend. Or I'm sorry. Why is that so awkward? What is wrong with us as human beings that we find it harder to say things that give life rather than give death? I can prove to you we are fallen sinners just by that very fact. Do you find it easier to say things that give life to people or things that give death? It is much more awkward to say things that are very, very kind, especially the people that you know the best. But what would happen if we did? Can you imagine how we could refresh this world, your home? Right? This is wisdom for a weary world. The world is weary of negative, critical, angry, accusatory, hateful words, especially right now. I'm weary of it. I bet you are too. But we could change that.
How about this one, Chad? Chad, I read this from another preacher. He said every Sunday while driving to church, his wife and he prayed this prayer, "Lord, don't let one word come out of our mouths that isn't of you. Let every word we speak come from you." And I think if we all did that when we came to church, it might feel like the cold wind of revival. And you may ask, well, how do I get that way? How do I become this person? And the answer to that is that it starts with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. John 1 tells us he's the Word made flesh. It means that God in his kindness wanted to really show us and tell us who he was. Why? Because that's the best thing for us. He loves us, and he knew that the best thing for us was to really love him back. So we can't do that unless we know who he is. And so God says, I'm going to send my son into this world, the exact representation of who I am, and he will reveal to this world who I am. So he did things, and he said things. You think about his words, they're always truthful, even when it hurt, but always helpful. Then he told us to do things like love your enemies. Do good to those who would do evil to you. Even his words on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he never said a word or a thing when silence was better. But we are mouthy sinners. God has always used his words to build trust and friendship and fellowship and teach us to walk in the right way. We do that too, but then we also use our words to kill trust and friendship and fellowship and lead others astray. But the cross of Christ means that the long record of our words that stand against us no longer do that because they have been forgiven. So do you see what God is doing? Our words condemn us, but his word frees us. Our words accuse us, but his word acquits us. In the Garden of Eden, Satan plunged our world into darkness with words. And on a cross, Jesus split that darkness with a word. And now the Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, who was murdered by a jealous brother. That word says revenge, but the word of the cross is forgive. And that word speaks louder than any accusation Satan throws at us. Look, God would never love you. God would never forgive you. Look at the mess you've made. But Jesus says, through my blood, you are my beloved. My Father went silent with me on the cross so that you can now hear these words. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And now that word sets us free. That's what the Bible says. It gives us life. It makes us new. The Bible says we are born again by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, James chapter 1. And it's all over. We are born and made new creatures through the Word. That Word hasn't changed one bit just because this week you said something you shouldn't have said. Really? I said this to my wife. I said this to my husband. I said this to my kid. I said this to this person. But that word is louder and bigger than your word. And maybe today that word is louder for you. Maybe you've heard that word of the cross before. But today it's a louder word for you. And all you have to do is believe this word of the cross and rise to a new life.
a life with new words spilling out of your heart. Words like, I am sorry, I love you, I give thanks, I want to tell you about Jesus. Lord, I come to you in prayer today. You see, God wants to forgive you, give you a new heart, so that He can give you a completely new and better vocabulary. Have you considered how exciting that can be? Isn't that amazing? And then wants that word to give life to other people in your home and in your church. Wow. What could God do in our lives here at Bethel if we can get a hold of this? Do you want that in your life? This morning you may be like sitting there and thinking, I've made a mess of my life and other people's lives with my words. Look what I've done to my marriage. Look what I've done to my kids. I've lost jobs because of my words. I've hurt my reputation. I've done bad things. But I want to be new. Like the Lord says you can. Maybe today you need to respond to the free grace of Jesus and ask Him to save you, to come into your life, receive His forgiveness, receive Christ. If you need to do that, want to do that, why don't you just let us know? Take a bulletin. You have one. Fill out the card. Put your name on it and say, I will receive Jesus. Right there. There's a place I think you can mark and say, I will commit to Christ. Or I want to know more about this. And give that to us as you leave. Or maybe you're a Christian, but you know you have hurt someone, people. You've done it maybe just one time. Maybe it was this week. Maybe it was over the course of time. And today needs to be a day where it's like, okay, I need to make that right. I need to go to them and talk to them. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to speak words that give life instead of take. Maybe today you just need to pray. We're going to pray in just a moment. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe it's I need to be saved. Jesus saved me. Maybe it's I need to start using my words better. Here's how. Whatever God's inviting you to do, I want you to do that today. That's about all it is. Would you just pray and seek the Lord right now? Lord, hear our prayers. We pray that you be merciful to us. We know you are. Forgive us for our reckless words. And deliver us. Deliver our families. Deliver our community. Deliver our nation. Deliver our church. Deliver us from words that kill. And instead, give us the words of eternal life. Give it to us deep in our soul and help us to give it to others. Please, oh God, make us new. Change us, transform us, change our hearts. Do it by Jesus' grace and power. Holy Spirit, give us new tongues. Help us walk out today knowing that death and life and the power of the tongue. We have a choice to make. So just choose well. In the fear of the Lord. For your glory and the good of others. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Jim.